This is a podcast from policyreview.tv.
Morning, everybody. We're moving very swiftly. I was a little perturbed by the idea of cameras, and then I remembered speaking to the WI at the Echo Arena with 4,500 ladies and an enormous video screen. So I'm a little calmer than I was, I think, about that. Can I just say hello on camera to Carl Clayton of Cinto, who's watching in Yorkshire, and colleagues and SILIT members all over the country. It's really good to have a chance to talk to you without a red light to flash at me, but I know Nikki's going to make sure that I keep to time. If I didn't stand up here and talk about why professionally led services are all the more essential in this time of change, those of you who pay my wages through your subscription to SILIP, which I'm sure is everybody here, would think you were wasting your money. You will all expect me to be the profession's biggest champion, and believe me, I am. But at the same time, SILIP is a charity, and first and foremost, we have to bear in mind the public good, that library services are here for a purpose in society and should be the best they can be to serve their communities, promote literacy, and meet information needs. If I didn't believe that those two things were synonymous, then I'm not in the right job at all. So today, I'm going to briefly comment on these things: the new big society environment and that libraries are in and how I think that impacts on our professionalism, the volunteering debate, what the profession might look like today or tomorrow in the current pace of change, and why professionalism and professionals are still relevant and needed more than ever. Oops, it automatically moved. I think a year on, we're still struggling a little bit with the implications of what the big society means to our working lives. We've talked about three policy strands: what the state does for us in terms of the public sector reform programme, what we do for ourselves in terms of community empowerment, and what we do for others, the encouragement to philanthropic action. It's also about decentralisation and about the right to know, transparency in service delivery, the right to challenge, accountability to local communities, and the right to buy and deliver services yourself. If you want an example of the big society in practice, public libraries are a good one to look at. Community-based services that build capacity. Libraries do this through learning, information access, literacy, access to IT, opportunities to get involved or not, and to meet the needs and choices of the individual. And a high usage of volunteers for the delivery of added value non-core services, which has always been true of public libraries. In many ways, libraries have been implementing these principles for years, and David Cameron has said that the big society is about opening up our public services, putting trust in professionals and power in the hands of the people they serve. And a core skill for professionals running services must be their ability to know their communities and what can be done to empower them to have the services they need and want. After all, why would we be putting GPs in charge of the health service? Isn't that the case the same for libraries? But the reality of the context that we're working in is shrinking, merging, shared services, new ways of working, it's great to hear about them, broader professions, and people taking responsibility for services they've never run before. In a way, it was ever thus. My colleague from the Museums Association, Mark Taylor, always makes the joke about museum professionals being underpaid, understaffed, and under a librarian. Librarians are very used to managing services that are not libraries. But things have changed. Because librarians are becoming thin on the ground in some places, and the leaders of library services may not be librarians. Of course, I'm going to say that this matters a lot. I'm going to say that at the end of the process, what matters is that the people get the service they deserve and that they need. But how do we make sure that that happens? We all know, don't we? And it's amazing that one of the biggest problems I think our profession suffers from is that everyone thinks they know what a library does. Simple, isn't it? Even the Prime Minister thinks he understands. Everything keeps moving, sorry. Even the Prime Minister thinks he understands the library world and what you do. He said this: "This is an issue I know that you face daily when discussing things with decision makers, and we have to talk about why a professional library service is still necessary. If we have reducing numbers of professional staff, where are they best deployed as a resource? Why have librarians at all?" I'm going to try and give you three what I think are really good answers to that question. Librarians know what you don't know. The big society principle of open access to government information and the sharing of knowledge only works with professional support to help things happen. Your colleagues who work in government and who are SILIP members often reinforce this point to me. We take for granted the level of information and support that is available to people at local community level, because it is there, because someone has planned and thought about how to deliver it. Librarians understand the information needs of the community and plan to meet them. I met someone recently who works on the knowledge management side of the profession but is moving to work in a library. She said to me, "If I do my job well, I'm invisible." It's kind of part of our problem, isn't it? Library people know their communities. Services at the heart of communities. I'm sorry, I don't know why it's doing that. Services at the heart of our communities and shaped to deliver for them are at the essence of the set of professional skills developed by public librarians and library practitioners. No, not everyone is qualified, but the principles of community librarianship are learned and disseminated on the job to others. You work to ensure that the highest standards of customer care and customer service are delivered at local level. This is really important, and I'm not sure we're thinking about it, this third reason. Librarians are there to deliver impartiality, neutrality, and safety in a fair society. This principle cannot be ignored. Librarians are an impartial source of information and are trusted. How do we hold on to that in a time of change? How do we continue to have that as the guiding principle, the ethics of our profession, as it were, if the services are delivered by people who don't get that? What about copyright, censorship, data protection, child protection? These things are hidden, but they really matter. And even if the library leaders don't know about them, they need to understand that they're important and needed on the ground. So our new reality includes volunteering, and I just want to touch on this briefly. At the minute, we estimate that at the moment there are nearly 18,000 volunteers contributing 570,000 hours of support in libraries, and of course it's growing. We all know that libraries and volunteers have always worked together, so we know the current challenges of that. We're talking about people involvement these days, aren't we, with the government? The Arts Council, I think, calls it co-creation. It's quite a good word. But mostly we're talking about devolving. That's the change. Devolving some of the services to the community, which is entirely different. So how do you ensure that the people who live in those communities where libraries are being run on a voluntary basis get more than a book borrowing service and get the impartiality that's at the core of information provision? Many local authorities are defining their own big society boundaries. I keep hearing the phrase statutory network in relation to a comprehensive and efficient service. Does that mean that libraries that are run beyond that network don't need a range of professional services, checks and standards? If the local authority has decided that it's not their responsibility to do that in some communities, then it needs to understand the implications of that decision. One of the things that I hear anecdotally all the time is that volunteering groups are asking more than ever, and I welcome the Minister for recognising this, for training and professional support in their running of libraries. I've run a few charities. What I know is that it's a lot easier to pay and train three people to do a job than to train 40 and do the same job for a few days a week, a few hours a week, and hope that they come. Where it works, it can work really well, but no one can pretend it's the same thing. And there's two things that I think we're discovering. Delivering the big society requires capacity, a different kind of capacity. We can't assume that local people will have the knowledge or skills or access to funding necessary to run services. And they'll need our help to develop. And coordinating volunteer-led services is a professional job in itself. And it will only work in the communities that have the capacity to do this, who are able to do this, where people and families in some communities struggle to survive on a daily basis, even where the library is less well used because there's no tradition of books in the home, because of other literacy problems. Volunteering is just not going to be an option in those communities. In these communities, staff spend their time working with the people, and the output of book issue figures is not so good. That doesn't mean that the library isn't just as much needed, and we can't assume that these communities can take on those services for themselves. So it's not straightforward. We all know this, and that's why professional and skilled involvement is so important. What I'm talking about is difficult, and I'm not talking about whether there is a library or not. What I'm talking about is what difference professionalism makes to services. I worked in a library service not long ago, with a library service, not in it, sorry. I was called in to help them out. That has one of the lowest ratios of qualified staff in England. And also at the time, it had no service leader or manager. I went to most of their libraries. They knew what I was there to do, and they knew I was a librarian. I was a little bit like an endangered species that they hadn't come across before. So they so rarely saw someone who actually they knew had these skills as a librarian. In one library, the annual library plan for 2004 was prominently displayed in the reference section. This was 2010. One library team member in another library suggested to me that they should save space and not stock books for teenagers because they weren't borrowed. In one library, a lovely painted wooden crocodile for board books and picture books sat empty, with the books filed in size order, tight on the shelves nearby. The most common question I got asked was, should we interfile hardback and paperback fiction? I'm not saying these things to embarrass anyone. I'm saying them because I believe that those things are a direct result of the lack of professional input and care into service delivery on a day-to-day basis. The professionals who were in charge of these services were mostly social workers in a matrix management system. I met with them to brief them on what was happening to the library services that they were delivering. I put up a slide that said, book issues, 2009-10, with a graph. And one of them turned to me and asked me, are there issues with the books? This kind of experience only reinforces for me the difference that professional people make to quality service delivery. If people think they don't know what we do, if they think they do know what we do, if they think they understand the business, then we have to be clearer about things, for example, like why a school librarian is often outqualifying most of the teachers in that school. I went to the School Librarian of the Year Awards and was pretty horrified when one of the citations that went up for one of the nominees had the head teacher saying, he's so good, he's almost like a teacher. And that's what we face in this profession. I was approached in Scotland recently by two new heads of service. One's a social worker and one's an IT manager. The social worker, loads of transferable skills, never run anything vaguely resembling a library. They don't know what they don't know. Of course, it's my job to find them a mentor, to ensure they get the information, training and support necessary to be able to understand how to be a library leader. But I don't know how to give them a crash course in 4 years of university and 10 years of library experience. And this is a dilemma when people pay Silip to be the guardian of their hard-earned post-nominals. But I also have to think about the communities that they serve. If we don't support new library leaders from outside the profession to grow in knowledge and understanding about the things I've talked about, the core things about knowing what you know about communities, values, impartiality, information literacy, reading, promotion of literacy, about building your service on core values, then I wouldn't be helping those people who benefit from your services in communities by helping the person responsible to make effective services to deliver the best they can be for them. In the same way, we talk about brains, not bricks. Sometimes I know you're having to make choices, and I spoke to someone last week, between a tier of library staff, usually qualified librarians, or three or four buildings maybe. This is a really hard decision. We've campaigned about this too, as you know. But actually, all along we've been saying what matters most is the outcomes for people in the communities they live in and how they get access to services. So where do they find the brains? The people who can deliver the information, knowledge, learning, passion for reading, understanding of their information needs. As long as they have access to those, then we can manage. Some of it is about managing through this really difficult period. But if we lose an understanding of what a professional library service is, then we lend books, but we don't inform, support, educate, help to grow, support communities and local authorities to have a chance to intervene early in the lives of young people and put some heart into communities. For many years, we've been seeing librarians spend all this time chartering, qualifying, training, and seeing that as an essential path to leadership. But gradually, this has changed, and I recall myself the first time that I appointed someone who was not a librarian into a senior post when I ran a library service in a local authority. Many of the skills are, of course, generic. They're really good things: budget management, staff management, customer care, political awareness. And actually, I think librarians have become rather good at procurement and project management. But we believe there is a distinct set of core skills, knowledge and values that make leaders who deliver library services the right people because of those skills. Knowledge of the community and how to analyse their information needs, how to choose and supply the best resources, engaging local groups, those kind of skills, and there's more. Passing this on to staff and developing them effectively, understanding information literacy and digital fluency and the location and synthesis of information. Reading, learning, supporting informal learning, stock, discussing books and other media, knowledgeability with users. Resource discovery techniques, search and retrieval, the GPS for the service user in the knowledge landscape, and specialisms in working with children, local history, information services, schools, prisons, and always people who believe in their own CPD and developing themselves. How can the need for these things be less? If anything, they are more needed than ever. I get a lot of senior people asking me, what do I do? Because I can't find people. I can't find people with those skills. And that's a real issue for us, and we have to address it. How we skill up and support new leaders into the profession. And one of my missions is to reconnect people with engagement with their professional association and learning leadership through voluntary roles. And I think it's absolutely essential to our young professionals who I meet very regular basis at different meetings, start to really aspire to what they could do in library leadership. We've done some work and some research about the future skills of the profession. And what will the new leaders be doing in the future? All of the above. The Wordle sums up some work about future skills that's more than just the public library profession, it's the whole profession. And some of the themes are really, really similar. But I think there's one thing that is really prominent here that I think is a really interesting thing to think about for the future. And that's collaborator. Collaborator with people and communities. The big society is all about involvement. It's about communities working with professionals to get the best services. It's about those decisions being based on understanding and knowledge of what the options are, the opportunities and the potential of library services to open up doors to education, information and literacy in a safe and impartial environment. It's about helping people to know what they don't know and to become information literate. And it's about putting the customer first. What I will promise is that SILIP will be promoting the value of professionals for the reasons I've talked about. And at the same time, we'll be looking for ways to support those who need to learn these skills, knowledge, and values that underpin our profession very quickly. Because it's still a great one. And as collaborators with our communities, we're more important than ever. Thank you very much.